Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Temptation Island wrap up. Today, we'll be talking about season 3, episode 10, The Final Bonfire, part 1. I'm Kirsten McInnes, joined as always by the wonderful Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how are you?
Hey, Kirsten. I'm doing really well. This episode was a bit of a snooze fest, but I'm certain this podcast won't be because I'm super excited about our guest.
Yes, me too. So I think maybe you should introduce this guest.
Yeah.
You can give all the tea.
Absolutely. So our guest today is an amazing actor, dancer, fitness coach extraordinaire. She's my best friend. And she has been listening to the podcast and watching and following Temptation Island for the entire season. And we finally got her on to talk about it. It's Miss Laura Gerard.
Hi, I'm so excited. I will say that Maggie dragged me, like, kicking and screaming into watching Temptation Island in the first place based off the fact that she was doing this podcast. So this is a real, like, this is a really nice mid-season character arc for me that here we are talking about it live.
Yeah, you were like,
I'm addicted.
You
were like, it's amazing.
You were like, I don't want to watch this. And I was like, but you do. And now, and then you text me after every episode your thoughts.
I do. Yeah, I was like, Maggie, what garbage are you sucking me into this time? And it's like the best show on TV. It's the only thing that I want to watch. So,
what other garbage has Maggie sucked you into before, other than this?
I feel like that should be classified.
Okay.
Well, like, obviously, it's not garbage, but if you don't know, like, before you're inducted, you think it's garbage. Like, I got Laura into Big Brother hard in college. Like, I was like, there's a show, Big Brother. And she was like, isn't that a show just where, like, people live in a house and wear bikinis? And I was like, it's actually not.
Okay. I mean, this honestly, that is true, but there's just a little more to it.
But okay,
well, then what is not true? Because I was a big fan in high school. I watched it for years. But then when I met you in college, I watched it, like, with my mom. So I didn't know about the 24-hour feeds, like, that actual, you know, people with jobs watch those. And, you know, Maggie will call me every morning and give me the little, like, update from the feed and what Taryn had to say and what I need to know about who and who's canceled. And it's great. Yeah. So I don't have to put in any of the work. That makes it a lot more enjoyable.
She almost got me to watch Love is Blind. I still haven't watched that one, but she loved
Love is Blind.
I was like, if you like Love is Blind, you'll like Temptation Island. I feel like it's the same vibe, no?
I never actually watched Love is Blind.
I honestly, Kirsten, it's worth a watch. It really is.
I've heard that. No. I've heard that. And when I say I haven't watched Love is Blind, people are like, what? You haven't watched Love It? Like, it
well,
just,
there's no island. So,
well, exactly. I'm too busy watching Too Hot to Handle because they're on an island. Come on.
Oh, God.
Which is what a problem.
Yeah, Love is Blind is excellent. I feel like the premise has a bit more integrity, if you want to call it that. But the high production value, low actual value is like a similar ratio.
Oh, my goodness. So to talk about this show, yes. Temptation Island. So do you have any, like, overarching feelings, Laura, about the couples or anything? I guess we'll get into it in this episode because it was sort of was like an overarching episode about like a recap clip show type thing.
Yeah, I was really disappointed that it was like a clip show. I saw like the final bonfire part one. And I was like, part one. And I feel like this episode was a lot of me just saying things back to the TV, like repeating things, mostly things Kendall said, that he'd be like, nobody's perfect. And I'd be like, nobody's perfect. I feel like it was that for the entire episode.
I feel like they absolutely could have just done maybe like the full final bonfire in maybe one slightly longer episode rather than this. But you know what? It gives us one more week on the pod, so can't complain too much. I will admit, I took significantly fewer notes this week than I normally take because a lot of this felt very unimportant.
Yeah, it was. Like, the entirety of the, like, recap, basically, of Corey and Aaron and Kendall and Erica's relationship was like completely irrelevant because it's everything we've been talking about every week. So like, I feel like we don't even need to go over like the past, like recap stuff on here. We can just go straight into their bonfire after we talk about like them leave, like the couple.
Yeah. There's
the
like
island couples leaving.
Yeah. There's like a little bit of the tempters and temptresses leaving that I guess we can talk about. And then literally the bonfire. And then
there was 14 minutes of actual content in the entire episode.
Yeah, I think this might be a short podcast because there's not a lot for us to get into. I guess we'll just jump into it. So the episode, like the actual content of the episode, starts at the guy's villa, much as the last episode ended, where Mark L. Wahlberg has let them know that it is time to leave the island. And we get just like a short scene with each of the like quote unquote couples left at that villa before the women leave. And so Corey and Amanda, Amanda's helped Corey a lot. And is he going to take Aaron back? That's the big question. And that's it. That's all there is.
Also,
I felt like I could
go ahead.
I felt like I could hear production asking them like, how has this person helped you and taught you something? They so clearly were all given the same prompt across these conversations. Like, that's not what they would be talking about, I feel.
Totally.
It was strange.
Also, Amanda says, like, in her little exit interview thing, she's like, I do want to pursue a relationship with Corey if his situation was different. And he's the only one who can change his situation. And I actually thought that that was, like, really, like, Amanda just, like, clearly is, like, a self-assured, like, lovely person who was, like, I'm not going to be chasing after a guy who doesn't want me. Like, Corey's the only one who can change it. Like, I think he's awesome. But, like, if he wants to get back with Erica, that is his Aaron, that is his prerogative. I seriously write Erica and Aaron, like, interchangeably on my notes. It's crazy. I have to go back sometimes and revise.
I do the same thing. I just because it's two names, we've got so many letters in common. It's a lot of work to keep notes for this show, okay? Again, how did Amanda end up here? She does not belong here.
No. She should be on The Bachelor.
Yeah, right? She'd be a natural fit on The Bachelor.
Yeah, she'd be good on The Bachelor. But again, I think she's too good for all of this.
I was going to say, I think even on The Bachelor, you'd be like, what's this normal woman doing over here? She seems kind.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, but also like she agreed to go on to Temptation Island. So clearly there's something up.
Maybe she just wanted a vacation. Like I can respect that. I can respect that. Like obviously they must have gotten some kind of stipend. I would have taken a stipend to go to Hawaii.
And she's just like a slow burn personality. Like she can keep that up for a few months, but then if they had been on that island for like one more month, she would have been like crying and screaming in a bonfire too.
But how did she get through casting? Like I just don't understand. But you know what? It's fine. This is USA Network casting. I don't think it's like as stringent as some other networks. Okay, Tula and Julian, this scene really makes it seem like Tula's been a really big part of this experience. And I'm like, but where was she on the show?
Like, where was she? Fight. She was a part of the chicken fight.
But that's
we
it.
Can't forget.
Like, yes, when did she teach Julian communication? When? When did she teach him that?
It was in a bunch of level-headed conversations that they didn't air.
Also, like, I thought it was weird how he was like, whenever I look at that ring on her finger, I'm going to think of you. I was like, this is not what you say to someone. This is not correct.
And like, just say Kristen has said yes to this proposal and they are engaged now. And then she has to watch this episode and be like, oh, so wait, every time you see this ring, you think of her? A stranger that we don't know?
Like, yes, what? Exactly. Bizarre. I don't know. I'm sure that this was like one of those producer prompted moments, though, like clearly, because what else is happening here?
I have such a soft spot for Tula because she seems like she's the only person in that villa who actually like will clot Kendall for being Kendall. But the whole like Tula Julian thing feels forced. Like he was like, hey, I'm gonna propose to Kristen, and they were like, great, okay, no more storyline for Julian, we're gonna give Tula some more screen time and you two can just hang out together. And
yeah, they were like, we're actually sick of Maya on the show, so you're gonna take Tula instead. Like I just literally don't understand, because we saw Maya at least. Like I would at least somewhat understand it if Maya was there to be like, oh yeah, we've seen that they're friends.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I wonder if Julian pulled the same thing almost that Aaron pulled with Shaq, where she was kind of like, we kind of have a connection but I don't love it, so I'm gonna send you home
maybe
and like talk to someone much more benign.
Well, and that's also kind of the same thing that Aaron did by eliminating Griffin before the 24-hour date too, of like, I'm going to go on a date with someone who I actually don't have a connection with so that there's no risk of anything. It's a good call.
Okay, it's a good call for them, but it's not a good call for us as viewers who want to see mess. That's why this was a snooze fest.
Well, we were never going to see mess from Julian anyway. Like, the only possibility of mess is if Kristen says no next week, which I am genuinely concerned that she might.
So is my mother, let me tell you. Very concerned text from Mary about that.
Okay, so then Thomas and Sophia say goodbye, and there was literally nothing of substance. Thomas is like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I was blessed to have this experience with you. Like, maybe we'll be friends. Maybe we'll be lovers. I don't know.
There's also a stark contrast going from Tula and Julian having, like, a lovely, like, you've helped me emotionally blossom conversation into Tom and Sophia being like, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you too. Like, it was like, so like high school.
They are the embodiment of the, you hang up. No, you hang up.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Kristen. Yes. Yuck. Yeah. When Thomas is like, no matter what happens, you and I are keeping our connection. And that's how he said it. He like trailed off at you and I. And I thought he was going to say like, you and I are going to be together. We're going to make it work. No, we're keeping our connection, I guess, whatever that means.
Well, yeah. Oh, and yes, then he said almost he's like, 40. Whether
as friends or as lovers.
Ugh. Yeah.
Ugh. I hate the word lovers. I can't stand that.
Is there anything more disgusting than someone earnestly calling someone else their lover?
No.
Like Taylor Swift, you didn't have to do that.
It reminds me of the Sex in the City, Alexander Petrovsky and Carrie, because she calls Alexander Petrovsky her lover.
He's my lover. Yeah
and it's absolutely gross. That was the worst guy ever.
That was an incredible impression of Carrie Bradshaw.
Thank you. I also do a really great Steve. It's my only two impressions. Absolutely, Steve.
Please do it.
That's so funny.
Oh, God. The only thing you have to do is that he's like, Miranda. Like, that's it. That's Steve.
Miranda.
Miranda, I'm sorry. Like, it's just that.
I'm still never going to forgive them for what they did. To
no, me either. We can't. Nope. Anyways, those aren't canon. The movies aren't canon.
I agree. They're not canon. I agree. Okay. Speaking of other things that we don't like, Kendall and Alexis have their goodbye.
I was like shocked by this. She was shaking and crying. She's like really upset. And Kendall, I think, was
I will never forgive Kendall for making me empathize with Alexis, because now I fear for this girl. I care for this girl. Kendall just like so obviously chews people up and spits them back out that after like a month, she's exactly where Erica is. And then she just keeps saying like, please don't hurt me the way you've hurt your girlfriend. And he's like, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Like, it's so painful to watch.
It's, well, and there's so much of this conversation. Like, nothing that Kendall says makes any sense. Like, he's always doing, like, the double speak thing of just basically random sentences that don't really go together. He does this a lot in this conversation, as well as at the bonfire with Erica later. But Alexis is literally like, I'm shocked. I didn't realize that I had these feelings and now I have feelings. Yeah, she's in danger. but Kendall literally says in this conversation, we're going to make it. But he also says, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then he says, just trust me. Trust my judgment.
Weird.
And then at the end says, we're going to be good. Do you believe that? What is happening?
I think
like the riddle of the Sphinx.
Yeah, I think he
not the Sphinx.
The first thing I wrote down a whole list of Kendall quotes because Kendall is the one person who has me talking back to my TV like it's the Super Bowl. When he said, trust my judgment, I was like, trust my judgment? What judgment? What? This man should not be in a decision-making position. Like, and he refuses to like acknowledge her feelings in any way. He's surprised that she feels so much, but he's clearly like also stoking those feelings by like talking about families and kids with her. Yes. It drives me. Kendall really is like just gonna get me fired up. So it's like, if we want to move on, that's fine. I can't stand him.
Nobody with any taste can understand him. Here's the thing. It's come up many times over the years that my type of man is toxic, but even Kendall is too toxic even for me. Okay?
Kirsten, no.
My type is, we talk about it all the time on BoJack Horsepod about how my type is tall and toxic. And
I don't think that's true.
Kendall,
you're not tall and toxic.
Kendall's too toxic even for me.
No, Kirsten, because you had Dr. Blake pegged from episode one, and he's also one of the most toxic people on
the
island.
Why do you think I am able to identify them, Maggie? Why do you think I can see the sun?
Are you in to Dr. Blake?
No.
I feel like a DM
not.
Can be sent.
No, I would rather be dead. No, but like once you have, you know, been interested in toxic men, you are better at identifying them moving forward. I'm trying a new thing where I don't go for toxic men. That's my 2021 thing, is being vulnerable and not getting into toxic relationships. So we'll see how that goes.
Love that for you.
Here's the thing, Kirsten, is that Kendall is like a shot-for-shot remake of one of my ex-boyfriends. So just every time he speaks, it makes my skin crawl. So I know I'm coming into this with a heavy bias. I will admit that. Like,
but here's the thing. If you were biased towards liking him, then I'd be like, no, we're journalists and we need to have unbiased coverage of this. But you're coming in with the appropriate opinion. And I'm like, yes, say it. Say more.
Oh my god, that was hilarious.
We're not journalists, again, for the record. But if someone came in trying to say they like Kendall, I'd be like, listen, we have to be impartial.
Yeah, I mean, well, who is that person? Please find them for me.
I don't want to know them. I'm scared for them. I'm worried about them. They are in
sorry.
Well, the one update on the Alexis front, though, is that her Instagram, as of this morning, April 21st, 2021, private. It wasn't private before.
I think in anticipation of this episode and a lot of the hate she was going to get, but also verified, right?
She is verified on Instagram now, yeah.
Also, poor Alexis, like, really, I know she's said some questionable things, but, like, anyone who's watching this go down and being like, Alexis is clearly to blame.
Well, no,
she was doing her job.
Yeah, that's the thing, is Alexis came in as a temptress with a job, and she did that job flawlessly.
She went to temptress camp.
Yeah, she doesn't even need temptress
camp.
And like, yes, she said some things about Erica that I don't love, but at the end of the day, she was saying things about a woman she literally doesn't know. And all of the information she has is from Kendall, who obviously was going to give her, you know, some biased reporting himself. And she's in danger. So while I don't love Alexis, I don't hate her. Like, I'm worried about her.
Yes, absolutely. Anyone within 20 feet of Kendall, I am worried about.
Yeah, Kendall needs like a court order that he's not allowed within 100 feet of any woman, like any woman.
Any woman alive.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a little bit hard to enforce.
Or maybe he can hang out with women, but Mark L. Wahlberg also has to be there to yell at him.
Yell at him.
Or Mark L. Wahlberg.
No, Mark L. Wahlberg yelled at both couples tonight. on the bonfire. He like went in on Corey.
Yeah, he gets mad. We'll get to angry Markel Wahlberg. Okay. So at the girls' villa, I literally wrote down none of the goodbyes particularly compelling? Chelsea and Blake get a weird goodbye though, where Blake is like, just be strong.
Yeah, and also he says in his confessional, he's like, I don't want to compare myself to Tom, but I believe I have shown Chelsea what else is out there.
Yes, there are famously two types of men, Thomas and Dr. Blake. Line up, ladies. Those are your options.
Well, who would you pick, Thomas or Dr. Blake?
That's Thomas.
No. Yeah, unfortunately, same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's a real Sophie's choice.
Yeah, I don't love either of these options. But you know what? Thomas will go out and be flirting with other girls, so I'll have free time. So whereas Blake is going to put his single-minded focus on you 24 hours a day.
Hold on. Kristen, can we talk about Dr. Blake in the DM that you got?
Yeah, so I got a DM about Dr. Blake from a listener of this podcast. If I could just scroll up and actually open it so that I could read it to y'all. I asked if it was okay for us to share this. And they said it's okay. Okay, good. So here's the DM. They said, hi, this is so random, but I thought you'd enjoy. Love your pod, by the way. So I'm casually stalking Temptation Island people, and I see that Dr. Blake follows my best friend. So I'm like, sis, how do you know him? Turns out she met him during Yacht Week in like 2016, said he was like full out raging and sweaty the whole time and made out with half the fleet. She said he wouldn't shut up about being a dentist and never followed him back because he was so annoying. I had no one to share this with, so I apologize for the random DM. Can't wait for the finale.
That tracks so hard. I about fell out of my chair when I read it.
If anyone's going to be extremely sweaty and raging at Yacht Week, Dr. Blake.
What is Yacht Week? Do you know what it is?
It's okay.
It sounds made up.
No, it's a thing.
It's like for people who don't own boats but want to.
So it's the original floating festival.
Ooh.
So it's like a bunch of yachts that everyone's just partying
on. It's in like Croatia and it's in the ocean. They do it abroad. Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought maybe it was like a East Coast or West Coast thing. I didn't realize it was like a European thing.
It's a bunch of yachts in the water. Here's what the description on theyachtweek.com says. Welcome to the best week of your life. This is the Yacht Week, an adventure like no other. Explore stunning oceans and islands aboard your very own yacht with your best mates and hundreds of other beautiful, like-minded explorers to convoy. You'll have your own skipper and the freedom to map your own path for 7 days through spectacular beaches, deserted islands, and incredible parties.
Wow, that honestly sounds amazing. I would like to go without the docking and having to party with
them. Yeah, they have.
To go on a yacht with my friends for a week.
So there's a Croatia route, a Greece route, Montenegro, Adriatic route, Croatia has a different route, another Croatia route, a Sardinia, Emerald Coast route, Polynesia and Tahiti, Caribbean and St. Lucia, the Bahamas.
And honestly, it doesn't surprise me though that like the type of people who go there to that or like Dr. Blake is like the type of person who would be like, let's go to Yacht Week.
Look at how happy he was on the sailboat a week ago. It makes sense. Right. He loves boats.
You're right.
The last place I would want to be is on the open ocean with Dr. Blake.
With Dr. Blake and a bunch of alcohol and presumably drugs.
And the fact that he wouldn't stop talking about being a dentist, that is the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard, ever.
He's probably like, let me look at your teeth to all the women as like a way to get close to, I don't know.
Someone even like go down that path where they're like, the coolest thing I could possibly be is a dentist? And like, I have no disrespect for dentists, but the fact that he's pushing that narrative so hard.
Yeah, he's not a neurosurgeon, you know?
He's not the rock star dentist, okay? He's not Johnny Mac.
Look, I know dentists make a lot of money and you have to go through like 8 years of dental school and be really, really smart to do it. Like, totally. It's, I could never be a dentist. But also, like you said, it's not like he's a pop star. Like, he's, you know, I don't know. It's just like so odd. Also, like, anybody who is touting their like high power job in any way like that is like the biggest red flag ever. He wouldn't shut up about being a lawyer. That would also be like red flag city. You know,
here's the thing. If I had to look inside people's mouths all day, the last thing I would want to do is then talk about how I look into other people's mouths all day when I am not at work. Yes. Okay. It's called work-life balance, Dr. Blake.
Can you imagine Dr. Blake with his fingers in your mouth?
Yeah, no!
Ew. Dr. Blake is a girl boss, and we have to respect the hustle.
Laura.
Throw off, girl boss.
The only other notes that I have about the entirety of these goodbyes is I love the body language on the women because, like, they're literally, like, leaning forward to hug them but trying to keep their bodies as far away mm-hmm. from these men as possible, like, all of them, except Erica, who, like, does have, like, a sweet convo with Jesse.
Yeah, Erica and Jesse had, like, a sweet convo, but it wasn't even, like, that super mm-hmm. special. What I liked when Erin had her goodbyes, as she talks about how she's been carrying her relationship with Corey this whole time, and I was like, girl, what?
Yeah,
since when?
I think like Erin has gone on the journey, like the Temptation Island journey, of being like stressed out that he's gonna leave her, and has gotten to the point where she's like, I'm embarrassed I've been so stressed out. He's the problem. Remember how I felt when I first came here? He's the problem. And like, I felt like we took like 5 steps forward and 3 steps back here with Erin. I don't know.
My absolute favorite thing about the entire Erin narrative is that whenever they replay a clip of hers, and I wrote this down, they play a clip where she says, how I felt when I first got here is different from how I feel now. And I didn't know that was going to happen. Through tears. And to me, like, that, like, you had an experience, like 2 weeks of your life happened, like you said nothing, but you said so much and you yelled it. And then they played that like every episode since she said that, like it's like an encapsulation of the journey that she felt one way and now she feels another way.
Well, I mean,
you know what, same girl.
Yeah.
Time has also passed for me.
Her hair has gotten longer to show that time has passed.
Oh, God. Okay, so should we talk about these?
The clips?
The clips?
I think that the clips, like, we can just sort of encapsulate them in, like, them actually, like, meeting up.
Because, yeah.
Like, when they finally bring them in, basically, you're sort of, like, for me, at least, I was like, okay, is Corey going to bring up to Erin, like, that he has feelings for Amanda and, like, isn't sure how he's feeling about her? Or, like, is he going to chastise her for the way that she makes him feel? Or is, like, that is one, the bad outcome from Corey, you know? And the bad outcome from Erin is she comes out and she's like, I saw you were connecting with this person and I don't like it. I don't think you deserve me. You know, like, you have gained confidence, but not in the way that I wanted. But then that isn't what happened. But yeah, that was my takeaway from the clip show.
Yeah, I just, it's a lot of them trying to give us a little bit of doubt in the last second of what's going to mm-hmm. happen, because they made it very clear what's going to happen with Erin and Corey for weeks now.
What did you say, Laura, before we started about them? About how it was like,
I was like, it must really suck to know that you're like the first couple who wasn't interesting enough to make it to part two of the finale. And they're like, well, we'll get Erin and Corey done before the break and then we'll leave them on a real cliffhanger. But like, no one cares. I like Erin and Corey. Like, I like them both. They seem like nice people and I'm happy. I hope those kids are okay. But it just kind of, you know, they were just like wrapped up and done.
Mm-hmm. But it does take a little while because the final bonfire has a process. Okay. So first,
each of them get. Spoil the next 10 minutes.
Yeah. How dare you spoil what happened with Corey and Aaron? So each of them gets the opportunity to just talk and the other person will just listen. Okay. So they take turns doing that. Then they get to have a conversation. They get to talk about it. Okay. Then Marco Wahlberg gets to berate them. And then Marco Wahlberg gives them their three options that they're allowed to choose from, and then they choose one of those options and it's over.
I really wish there was like a more ceremonious way for them to announce which option they're going with, like they had to do like a lipstick like on Drag Race or something. I wish they had like opened a box or like spun a wheel or something.
Like they both like, actually secretly made their decision before they have this conversation, and then it gets like each like get an envelope of the other person's decision, and they open it, and it's like stay, break up.
Yes, yes,
leave with Amanda.
I also thought that when they were given the option to leave with someone, they were going to bring them out and have
Me
them
too.
Stand there while they
Me,
made that
like
decision.
The Bachelor.
Why do they not do that?
Because, drama.
Let's face it. They already knew what was going to happen, and they have already flown most of the temptresses home on economy.
On Spirit Airlines.
Spirit Airlines. No. They're already in the air. So
there was a lot of clunky, awkward moments in this, though. Like,
because this was therapy. This was legitimate therapy for them both.
Yeah. And also, like, when, like, Corey, like, Aaron walks out, Corey doesn't even stand up. Corey stays seated as Aaron walks out.
And she and sits like 7 feet away from him.
Yeah. But as she's walking out, she's like, hi to him. And he says nothing. And it was so awkward. If I were her, I would have been like, oh, he's breaking up with me. Like, for sure.
I'll be curious to see how like the other couple meetups go, though, because I'm very skeptical of production. And I feel like that might have been a rule because... Mm-hmm. But also the only other thing we have to go off is that Erica didn't say anything to Kendall, which justified. But you know what I mean? Like maybe they were like, you cannot talk until you're directly addressed by Marco Wahlberg. But also they would never make her climb up that wooden box in that dress. Like,
and like,
if we put a chair on the grass.
Erin is in like an absolutely stunning mini dress. Like she looks so gorgeous. Good. She's rocking a low pony, but she doesn't look like a founding father, which just is hateful to me. like she just looks beautiful. And then Erin, she has
a gorgeous
climb.
Woman.
Like she had to take like the biggest steps. And it's like, this woman is about to lose her dignity on television because you won't give her an appropriate place to sit.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Come also on. Like it was so like Corey. I don't think I realized until like this sequence how awkward Corey like really is. Like he's like
he was reading off something, right?
Yeah.
Like he was reading off like flashcards.
Oh yeah, he's
like some PA was saying.
Some PA was doing it like Love Actually has the cards. But here's
like,
the thing.
I can see his eyes tracking. He's like,
so true. And that's not the first time we've noticed this from Corey this season either. He was doing the same thing in his video to her.
Yeah. And that's why she was like, he was so devoid of love.
Like, yeah, because he's reading and he also didn't write it. Like, I'm sorry, Aaron. But I just, I don't know. It's the thing that I noticed though is like they showed the clips from like when they first got to Temptation Island and like a little bit of their journey of personal growth or whatever. And Corey really does seem to be like sitting up straighter and like visibly does have more confidence in himself. Mm-hmm. Like that's very clear. Like when they, no wonder I hated them both on sight because he was a shell of a human and she was just a mean lady.
But they've really come around. You know, Corey said like he thought that he had to walk on eggshells and avoid arguments. But after the date selection, when she saw that he picked Griffin, he had a breakdown. But then he picked himself up and moved forward, that he did make a connection with Amanda. But he's willing to do his part to be a better boyfriend. And Aaron did acknowledge, she was like, you know, the clips that I've seen, I can tell that you're gaining confidence and that at first your connection with Amanda annoyed me. But she realized that like she has taken a lot of blame for their relationships and where things have gone wrong. And she realizes that she's taken out her hurt and pain on him. And then they get to talk to each other and like the real deep stuff comes out and she tells him that she's been abused before. It's like, really intense.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Something that came up in each of their like little soliloquies was he specifically says, I need you to meet me halfway. And she specifically says, I need you to help me carry the weight. And it's like, okay, so you're both willing to go 50-50 now? Is that, yes. Is that where we've come to? Okay.
That's good, right?
My personal favorite part though was when Mark L. Wahlberg jumped on them. He goes, why don't I believe you? After Corey was like, yeah, I'm really, you know, I feel better about myself and I'm ready to like be there for you, Aaron. And Mark yells at him.
It was because he said he wasn't intimidated by her. She's like, I learned from guys that I'm intimidating.
Right. Well, so just before that
really got me.
They literally, he tells her, Amanda expressed feelings for me and I respectfully declined because there's no other woman for me than you. Were you faithful? Like in one sentence. And she's like, yes, yeah. I was faithful. And then it's like, oh, great. It's so happy and cute. And Marco Wahlberg is like, not today. I want some drama. Pay the toll.
Yes. And Corey, it's so Corey's like,
yes.
Corey's like, okay, fine. Here is your toll. I'm sick of feeling little and I want to feel big. I was like, oh, Corey. Maybe we should have used different language here, but all right.
Marco Wahlberg is like, I'm just afraid that when you leave, she's going to continue being mean to you, knowing you won't stand up for yourself and you're going to continue to avoid arguments. And Aaron's like, yes, I need to be put in my place. I'm like, oh my God, can we also not use that language?
Also,
yeah, that was a little icky, especially after she was just like, I was in previous abusive relationships. Yeah. And then we're like getting to the place where Corey's like, I want to feel big. And Aaron's like, yeah, sometimes I just need to be, you know, talked down to a little bit. I was like, what's happening here? I don't know if this is the direction I want to take.
I also thought that it was like really, I mean, look, they hadn't seen each other in a month. Mm-hmm. They had been literally like having other people trying to sleep with them. But like, as she was revealing, like, you know, her like past abuse, I felt like he seemed very cold and detached for like the first little bit of it. And then eventually like he leaned in and like put his hand on her leg and stuff. But I was like, Corey, hold her.
I think he was so taken aback because he literally had no idea about this. And he literally was like, I hate that you have been carrying this alone. Like, let me take some of the burden, like, please. And so like, I think he was just super taken aback and not expecting that revelation to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it's like based on what they've been saying about how their relationship was before. I feel like we, over the course of the season, have seen Aaron be fairly open and fairly like emotionally expressive. But based on the way it was before, like if she never, quote unquote, let him in at all, and then all of this is coming out in the first time that he's seen her and he's like got his guard up, I felt like it was really obvious that they both were like happy to be there. Like once they started talking, they both had like a big smile on their faces that they were kind of trying to get through the like, we have to, you know, say our
we have to like say stuff.
I feel like he was shocked.
So they ask them what they're gonna do.
Yeah, so you
and
have three options. One, you can leave together. Two, you can decide you have a lot of love for each other, but it's not going to work out and leave separate. Or three, you can leave with someone else you've met on Temptation Island.
And Erin says she wants to leave the island with Corey. And Corey says he's leaving the island with his girl and they make out.
And they're like, oh, I love you.
He
I love
grab
you.
Her and can't.
that. They're like,
yeah, it's weird.
Because he couldn't grab her sitting on that thing because her dress would have been up around her waist. And they can't show that on TV.
An unsealed wooden plank, and he tried to slide.
Yeah, Splinter City.
I really do wish that at the point where the three options were introduced, they had kind of sweetened the pot with some kind of like monetary like temptation. Like they were like, by the way, Corey, if you pick Amanda, you get to like take a helicopter to Fiji or something, like just to make it a little bit spicier.
They could do, or like, okay, they've chosen to leave together. Okay, now we're doing a prisoner's dilemma for $10,000. Where it's like, are you going to split the money? Are you going to take the money? That's how the end of Love Island works. But then everyone always just shares the money there. But that's $100,000.
Love Island.
Love Island is, that's your next stop, Laura.
No.
And no. Love Island is on 6 days a week.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's happening live, like Big Brother.
Yeah, it happens live, like Big Brother. There's like a lot of public votes that you can influence it. The winner is chosen by a public vote. And Love Island is a great part where halfway through the season, they introduce Temptation Island and they go to separate villas. They call it Casa Amor. And it's the most incredible twist in all of reality TV. We can talk about that another time.
Oh, no. You can't tell me this. I'm running out of things to do in my apartment.
I just want to say, like, they're making out. And, like, I think that maybe just as viewers, you've been listening to them talk about each other nonstop for the past several months. So you're like ready for like, you know, the romantic comedy ending where the kiss is so passionate and amazing, but they're like closed mouth kissing each other. Like Laura's doing it
just over and over, just peck, 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 peck.
I was like, torture, you know, I was
ew.
I wanted like the face grab, you know, I wanted the passion.
Okay. You know what I also thought about, though? Like, if you've ever been in a long-distance relationship and you've been apart for, like, even a month, there's that weird moment where you first see each other where you're like, who are you? I know I'm supposed to like you, but what's happening? Like, they're going through that. They also know they're being televised. Sent. And it's also like, their relationship was just hanging by a thread. So I'm sure it's a little tense. But I wanted a more satisfying makeout too.
They started making out in the car. It's fine. We didn't get to see it, but you know what happened.
Oh, for sure. They look, it's fine. I just was waiting for like the music swelling, magical kiss reunited. And it was sort of like odd pecking over and over again.
It was. I did note that they were like birds, just like peck, 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 peck. but also, you know what I wrote down? I've come to love them. I want them to be happy.
Kirsten, that is amazing. If you had asked me week one if you would want Aaron and Corey to be happy,
I wrote in my notes, stop, so, I actually kind of love them, question mark.
So Kirsten, what you're saying is that how you felt at first is different from how you feel now, and you didn't know that would happen.
I didn't know that was going to happen.
Who could predict that would happen?
Yeah, it's wild. You know what? Obviously, my brain has melted through an additional 2 months of lockdown.
Love it.
Okay. Then the rest of this episode is dedicated to Erica and Kendall. And I will admit, I was surprised to have them.
Me too.
In this, but here's my
suspicion.
Tom and Chelsea would have made a lot more sense because I think that in each half of it, they want to have one couple stay together and one couple break up. I think that's their goal. So I'm still just praying that Erica and Kendall break up because they didn't show us their answer at the end of the episode, which was hateful. But yeah, so before they actually get to the bonfire, Erica talks about being worried about falling for what Kendall has to say because it's happened before. Mm-hmm. And Kendall comes in saying, oh, we came into this villa with no rules and I just really need to see a lot from Erica. Shut up, Kendall.
I mean, disgusting. Like he's just disgusting. He's like, what me and Alexis shared here, like, I didn't do that with Erica. Like, why is it easier to compliment Alexis than it is to compliment Erica when I don't even know this girl? And he also had the nerve to say that having a threesome really showed that I'm fully committed to the island experience.
Well, yeah, anyone who does not have a threesome, they're bad.
They're half-assing it. Sometimes I feel like Kendall doesn't think that he's being filmed, like that he doesn't think that America sees what's happening. And maybe America is a broad term for the viewership of Temptation Island. But, you know, I feel like he thinks that he's so, I don't know. He thinks that his version of events is the only one that happened. And I don't think he knows that we see through that. I don't know.
Yeah, he thinks he can get away with everything because he's always gotten away with everything his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Not today, absolutely. Kendall. Not with me. And
so when they get there, Erica comes out first and Mark L. Wahlberg sees her and goes, Erica, you made it. Like she wasn't going to show.
Yeah.
Like, he loves her so much, clearly. Like, production loves her and feels terrible for her, I'm sure. Like, I feel like there's a real soft spot in production for Erica.
I would just like to say, for the record, production cares about her in so much as they can care for any contestant who they are fully, you know, exploiting to
publicly humiliating.
Like they might like her, but they are still exploiting her pain for a reality TV show.
So absolutely.
There's not that much
production's hoping Erica doesn't sue them.
Oh God, no, I'm sure she signed her whole life away. So Kendall does the whole doublespeak thing again, talking about how, you know, they came here to work on each other individually. He had a block around his heart. He could not open up emotionally, and it made it hard for him to love her the right way. And he wants to love her the right way, but he wasn't giving her all of him. He made a connection on the island and he did open up to her and blah, 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 blah. Like, I hate him so
much. It was funny how quickly Kendall's narrative changed from this entire season where he was like, I'm embracing the island experience. Erica has so much she needs to work on. I'm here. Just whatever happens, happens. And I'm not, it flip-flopped so quickly when he was speaking to Erica that he was like, well, we know how much I have to work on and nobody's perfect and I have character flaws and I've made mistakes. Like,
I don't want to make any more excuses. I want to focus on being a better version of me.
Yeah, listen to you making excuses.
All those little riddles, those little Rumpelstiltskin riddles. He's really just like, whatever he needs to say. Ugh.
Yes. And Erica responds by coming in like a total boss about how, like, when she came in, she thought that it was about regaining her confidence and proving herself to Kendall, that she could be the woman that he wanted her to be. But she realized that she was there for different reasons, that she's been made to feel unworthy, like she doesn't deserve to be treated well, that she no longer trusted herself, that she felt she did not deserve to be loved unconditionally. But that now she is not the same Erica. And she hopes that everything that he did was worth it. Queen.
Yes, Erica.
Good speech,
yes.
Erica, in all capitals.
Great. Queen. And I felt she was very true to herself. You know, of course, I would want to be up there screaming at him, but Erica is not that kind of person. Like, but I thought that she stood up for herself and was really true to her feelings and held his feet to the fire. Like, I felt like she did a great job.
Well, yeah, because when it comes time for them to converse, she straight up goes, so what do you think you've worked on, Kendall? Like, what did you do? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I put myself out there emotionally. And she's like, okay, but like, tell me this. How do you feel that sleeping with not only one person, but two people helped you open up emotionally? It's not like you waited and made a connection. It's like you slept with the first thing you saw. Help me understand this. And he's like,
speechless.
Oh, it was poor decision making. I've made mistakes, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, listen, no, you disrespected yourself. You disrespected me. like, what the hell? And he's like, this is not how I operate. And I wrote in comments, yes, it is.
He says, yeah, he lost a piece of himself in the house, but he was not expecting this. Like, I really think that he's shocked by this. He's totally knocked off center.
Well, and he tries to throw back on her immediately, mm-hmm. but be like, well, did you resist temptation? And she's like, you know what? On my final date, I kissed my date. That was that. And you're not allowed to ask me that question at this point. He's like, I can ask any question I want. Shut up, Kendall.
I got nervous. I really thought she was going to crumble at that point. And like, that he was going to turn around the Jesse thing on her. She did so well. She really stuck to her guns.
It she was said, so impressive. You were sleeping with the whole world.
Yeah. And she said, he's like, I can ask whatever I want. Like, you would do that. And she's like, you can't talk about our future and us leaving this island together because you were talking about that with Alexis. I watched you talk about having kids, whatever. And like, how dare you talk about that with somebody here and then say that you all the entire time you were there, you were thinking about our future. She really, really went in on him. And I was so proud of her. She did so good.
A beautiful moment.
I like wanted to stand behind her with like a water bottle and a towel and like massage her shoulders. Like she just pulled no punches. Like incredible. That I really hope they don't get back together.
I'm scared, Laura.
I really hope they don't leave together. We still don't know.
Yeah, I'm scared.
They won't. I really think that she'll be like, because she was about to say, I love you, but I can't do this anymore. I am leaving alone. And I think that he'll be like, well, then fine. I'm leaving with Alexis.
What if she leaves with Jesse?
I don't think she will.
He carried her into the house.
Jesse? On that
24-hour date. It was like pretty romantic.
But like he told her as they were saying goodbye, he was like, I'll see you in LA. Like they live in the same place. There's no reason for them to leave together. You know, my mom had a question about this. Okay. And she was like, do you really think that Erica only like kissed Jesse on her date because they were in bed together? And I was like, I don't know. Like a lot of people make out and just sleep in the same bed. Like I've done that before and like nothing else has happened.
Well, yeah, of course, that's what you tell your mom, Maggie.
No, but it is real. I have done that. And she was like, I know that that's a thing people do, but do you think Erica did that? Or do you think
they like kind of had that thought of they like, specifically, she's just not telling Kendall.
Yeah, they specifically mm-hmm. showed us like her dress, like thrown over like the lamp
and her bra.
Bra. And like, you know what? I guess it's not really any of our business what she got up to with Jesse, but I think it was probably like a little more than making out.
Yeah, it's not our business. But the only thing that I'm worried about is that Kendall is going to throw that back in her face when he's trying to get her back and be like, well, you said you only kissed him. And now I find out that you were lying to me. Like, at least I was truthful about what I did. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that is like something that he would latch onto. Like, you know, I don't know.
Well, I was worried that's what was going to happen because I thought that is what happened, that they slept together. And then I thought when Kendall pressed her on that, that was going to come out, and whether that happened or not, I'm happy that she stuck to that too, because it felt like he was going mm-hmm. to turn around, throw that back in her face.
Mm-hmm. It's like, even if they did have confirmed coitus, okay, they literally built a connection, an emotional connection over the whole season. And it was like very clear that that last date meant something, which like, obviously, even if it didn't mean anything and she just wanted to have some fun, that's totally fine too.
Completely,
but like,
yes.
That's not the vibe that I get from 100%. This. So mm-hmm. I don't see the problem, except for Kendall's just looking, he's scrambling. He's looking for anything to get away with it.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. And that was kind of my thought, like Erica absolutely did nothing wrong. So don't give him anything that he can use against you. Mm-hmm. Like we're rooting for you. It's okay. Yes. If you need to lie, you need to lie. But you know.
And then that was how they left us. They left us with the cliffhanger. And we still don't know anything about what we're gonna see next week with Kristen and Julian or Chelsea, but I am worried that Kristen's not gonna say yes.
I'm very worried that Kristen is going to say no, and then like Chelsea and Thomas are gonna just somehow end up back together.
No.
It would be so nonsensical, but I also just like I just got this feeling, because I think if Tom and Chelsea were gonna break up, they would have shown that in this episode with Aaron and Corey as like a way to like tie it up with a bow, and then
unless
be like
they, Oh, sorry. Unless they like fight like crazy at the bonfire.
Maybe they have a big fight. They could have a big fight. They could have a big fight. I could see
that. I also think we'll probably get another like hefty chunk of Erica and Kendall at the beginning of the next episode.
Oh, yes.
Like, I think that there will be a lot more original content.
I think he's going to be very upset when he does not get his way. And it's going to be a big TV moment. What did Mary think about this episode? Did she send you any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, she thought it was pretty boring. To be fair, she didn't love like the clip show aspect of it.
Well, and neither did you. That was the only text I got about the show was last night. You've been like, it's a clip show. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, well, she said, like, they're going to make us wait about Julian and Kristen. It's going to be the last one. I'm so nervous. And she obviously really likes Corey. I think Corey is my mom's favorite on the show. And she was talking about Kendall and Erica. And right before they came out, she goes, Kendall and Erica, let's hear what bold-faced lies come out of his mouth. Wonder how he will completely twist this to his advantage and how he is the only one who is true to the process. She should just stand up and punch him right in the face.
Mary.
I know.
Not Mary.
Temptation Island is really bringing out Mary's violent side.
Yeah.
Yes.
Endorsing physical violence.
She also just said that he's been playing the good cop in the relationship this whole time, like pretending that he's the one invested in them and she has to work on her issues. And she just said that the problem now is that there's video evidence of his real personality and like none of it is her. And she said, the jig is up. She now sees the real you and it is ugly.
Not the jig is up.
She did say the jig is up. As though we were in like Fiddler on the Roof. The
incredible,
jig is up.
Incredible. Incredible. Oh my God. Well, yeah, that's kind of it for this episode. Laura, do you have anything else you want to say about this episode, about the season?
About the couples that we didn't get to.
Oh, I have so much to say, but I have a request for a prediction.
Okay.
Because my boyfriend and I were debating. Do we think, clearly, Kristen and Julian will be the last couple that goes before, you know, the tribunal of Mark L. Wahlberg. And
not the tribunal.
In that final moment where they make them say, you know, which of the three options do you choose? Do you think that first they will trick Kristen into saying, yes, she wants to leave the island with Julian, and then Julian will get down on one knee and propose? Or do we think they're going to have Julian say, I want to leave the island with Kristen, take the moment to propose, and then we're going to be left with Kristen's final moment of decision?
I think the latter. I think that he's going to propose and then she's going to be like, because I don't think that they'll want, like, what if she's like, I want to leave the island alone. And then Julian just like has a ring and he doesn't propose.
Oh, yeah. No, they want to get the proposal no matter what. That's a good call.
See, I feel like Kristen is going to, I feel like Kristen is 100% in. So I feel like
just
maybe
getting
they would,
a weird,
like, surprise her in that way.
I was getting a weird vibe this episode when she was talking to
Lex
about it. Mm-hmm. I just was getting a vibe of like, oh, is she in or is she out? She
I
might be out.
But I do think like,
I hope not. I'll be so sad.
I know. I want them to work out.
I love them.
Oh,
I know.
No.
I know that you have strong feelings about Chelsea and Tom, Laura, and we didn't really get to talk about it.
No, we didn't.
Wait, so
maybe
like,
this is the moment.
This is the moment. Let's talk.
Oh man. I hope they don't leave together, but also in an equally strong way, I feel that they deserve each other. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Wait, you don't think
I don't think Chelsea will experience a life of happily ever after if she flies into the sunset with Dr. Blake.
Yeah, what? You
no,
don't
not
believe
quite.
That?
I like Sophia just fine. I feel kind of, I don't know if there's a future for Tom and Sophia.
I hope not. Leave her alone.
Come on, Laura. Nuts.
Chelsea drives me nuts. I don't know. She's 22.
Alone.
She can do better. Yeah, I like Sophia just fine. Tom and Chelsea, I'm excited for this final bonfire. I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be explosive. I think they both think they're the victim. And I think they both equally victimize each other. And I think that makes a really good TV, no matter what happens, especially since I do feel sort of emotionally divested from that situation. I think I can just sit back and watch and enjoy and not be quite as nervous as I am for, you know, Erica or for Julian and Kristen. So.
Yes. And I completely agree with you. I think that they both are going to come in and look at each other and be like, how could you do this to me? And then be like, what? I didn't do anything to you. You did it to me. Like, I feel like they're like fully going in ready to let the other one have it and like take no responsibility for their own actions. And it's going to be amazing.
Do you think that Thomas will
have like a fiery, righteous anger?
Yes.
Do you think Thomas will throw the foam football at Chelsea?
Not the foam football. Oh, man. They added such a dramatic sound effect to that. Like, what I wouldn't give to see just the raw footage of that football making no noise as he hurled it as hard as he could. But they added a little, like, sound, you know?
That little Nerf football.
Oh, God.
He did no damage with that.
I love it.
Yikes.
But I think next week's going to be fireworks, but even more so, I'm pumped for this reunion. I cannot wait for the reunion. I think it's going to be great because now these couples have been watching each other talk about each other because, like, apparently I saw on the Reddit that, like, Erin was on a live and she was like, yeah, it's really awkward to, like, watch my boyfriend talk shit about me on TV every week. So, like, I think that there's, like,
Corey was talking shit. He's the most like chill dude ever. Oh no.
And I don't know. Like
she said worse about him.
He was like, sometimes my cup isn't all the way full. And I think that Erin might have something to do with that. And she's like, Corey's talking shit.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like
they both were pretty nice behind each other's backs. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's not, I don't know.
They were just like,
there's nothing incriminating.
I agree. But I think that we'll just see, you know, like now that people can see each other's confessionals and see what's actually going on, I feel like there will be like a lot more to discuss. And I can't wait to hear from like the tempters because, you know, when Kendall got back to LA, he called Nicole, he called Alexis, he called a girl whose name we don't even know because she left early, but he's going to try and hook up with her too. Like, I just know that there's going to be like a lot of juicy stuff there. So.
You're right. I'm excited for that. So we've got next week is part two of the final bonfire. And then the week after that, we have the reunion, which we think is a one part reunion.
Well, I would love a two part reunion, but I do think it'll probably be one part.
I think that they said Temptation Island was going to be 12 episodes. So since the final bonfire is two parts, I think that means the reunion has to be one part, which I think is maybe a mistake. But maybe nothing happens at the reunion and so it will be boring. I don't know.
Or maybe it will be 4 hours long.
I'm not sure I understand.
Ah, neither do I, Siri. Neither do I. I'm always like knocking the side of my watch against like my leg and then it's like, what are you trying to ask me? Nothing. Stop it. Yeah. So I think we've come to the end. The shorter recap this week because they didn't show us anything and we do apologize for that.
It really was like you know, like out with like a flutter. Like it really is not they're not putting their best here for this two-part finale, I have to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe they're lowering our expectations for part two. And part two is gonna be front to back, excellent. Jaw-dropping TV.
I hope so.
Maybe. This is also, you know, we're coming to the end of the season. It's also a great time. If you wanted to rate and review us on iTunes, that'd be cool. We'd like that. I feel like I haven't been shaming people enough to rate and review us like I normally do on every other podcast. So like, just go to robhasawebsite.com/Temptation Island. It'll take you right to the iTunes store. You leave us a 5-star review. It would just be really nice to know that you're here, that you're listening.
It would make my mom super happy.
It would make Mary really happy. You could shout Mary out in a review.
Do it for Mary.
Yeah, I can screenshot them and send them to her. She would be really happy.
Yeah, do it for
Mary. Hashtag do it for Mary.
That's her. That, see, there's your title for your 5-star review. Hashtag do it for Mary. Absolutely. As well as we're coming up on the start of May, a new month, a great time to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. They make this podcast and so many others possible. Check that out at robhaswebsite.com/patron. And Laura, do you have anything that you would like to plug? Do you want anyone to follow you, see what you're doing?
Oh, man. If you have any desire to follow me after this, I'm on Instagram at laura.gerard. I'm on TikTok, too, keeping up with the teens. LC Gerard. That's it. That's those are the only places you can find me, really, nowadays.
And you can find your online training program through the link in your bios there, correct?
That's true. That's true. All that info is on Instagram. And I'm launching a super big, exciting new project in June. So if you like big, exciting new projects and you like fitness stuff, then come find me.
Okay.
It's really great. I'm a part of her program. It's been wonderful. So she's fabulous. Thanks, if you're looking for a new trainer.
Okay, well then, Maggie, is there anything you want to plug? What have you been up to?
You know, just watching a lot of Temptation Island. I have been doing recaps over on Big Brother Canada, talking about Big Brother Canada season 9. It has been a wild week in the house this week. And I was on like one of the weirdest updates ever, where we had to talk about one of the worst moves ever made in Big Brother history. And you can find me on Instagram at MLMorgan_. If you want to connect with me further.
Perfect. And if people are not yet sick of me, they can get me on every platform at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/KirstenSaidWhat. BoJack Horse Pod is staying strong with Lindsay Wilson. And Mary released the latest Kowski cast about the Riverdale mid-season finale. So that's up there as well. And on Monday, I will be on the Big Brother recap talking about the whoever returns after the fake double eviction. So that should be exciting too. But for now, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Laura, for being here. This is so much fun.
Yes, so fun.
Thanks for having me. Yes. It's a fangirl moment for me. I had such a good time. Thank you.
Love you.
And then we'll catch everyone next week.
Bye.
Bye.